Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. We begin today with a follow-up on a much listened-to and commented-on segment we had last week about ethnic and financial tension in the East Ramapo School District in Rockland County. That's the Muncie, Spring Valley, Pomona area and towns around there, a little west and north of the Tappan Zee Bridge, if you're not familiar. We spoke to New York Magazine reporter Benjamin Wallace Wells, who had a long article last week. The district has 9,000 public school students and 21,000 private school students. The public school kids are overwhelmingly Black and Latino immigrant family kids, mostly from the Caribbean. The private school students are overwhelmingly from the Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish communities. The majority of members of the school board are Orthodox and Hasidic. There is also a multi-million dollar budget deficit in the district. The controversy revolves in part around how to close that deficit and the fact that the school board majority are people who would not use the public schools for their kids, but want school board money for special needs kids in private religious schools to which they are legally entitled. So as a follow-up today, we will speak to one of the political leaders of the from the Hasidic community, Aaron Weider. He's a former vice president and president of the school board and a Rockland County legislator from a majority non-Hasidic district. Mr. Weider, thanks very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
Okay, thank you. And listeners in that part of Rockland, we can take some of your calls from Mr. Weider, and as we do in divisive situations like this, we will see if we can find some common ground. So 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There was so much yelling and passion and accusing in last week's segment from both sides, and if people feel passionate, you should be passionate. But let's see if we can look for some common ground today. And Mr. Weider, let me get right to the heart of many people's unhappiness with the school board. Many people angry at the situation, as I understand it, don't think it's right that a majority of a school board be held by people who don't send their kids to public schools. That way, if the majority represents taxpayers who perhaps would rather use their tax money for other things than the public school population would, or just want to keep property taxes lower than they would otherwise be, the parents of public school students have no power to stop it. Is it right to have a board like that, even if it's within the law?
Well, the Constitution of the United States is a very living document. And I think that it's very important that we turn to the Constitution and we look for common ground, as you say. I think that's what we should really look for, is common ground. Currently, there is going to be a school board election. Three seats on the school board is up for election, and not a single Hasidic or Jewish person is running for that seat. The three seats were formerly held by an African American, a Jewish person, and a Hasidic person. So the question is,
and what would be the makeup of the board after that election? Would it be still 6-3? Is that the correct number with a Hasidic majority?
Well, currently there's one board member that resigned, so
right,
it would be 5-3. And then the board will either get to appoint the vacant seat or the board will get to go for another election. It's important to point out that previously when I was on the school board, there was also a vacancy on the board that was filled by an Orthodox Jew, and the board appointed a public school parent of a minority. So there is a conscience in that school board towards the community at large. And I think the important question is, and to get right to the heart of the question is, how can we find common ground? Because this is what we need to do. You know, I like to quote Martin Luther King, who said, we might have come on different ships, but we're all in one boat now, or is it vice versa? We all came on different boats, but we're on one ship now, and we need to find the common ground, and that's really the heart of the question.
Just
how can we?
On that structure, before we move on to some of the specifics, if you have this unusual situation with 9,000 public school kids and more than 20,000 private school kids who are also entitled, as a matter of law, to services if they are special needs kids and in some other categories, and the private school communities have more voters to elect a board majority, whether it's 6-3 or 5-3, still a governing majority. As a matter of common ground, would you support some kind of formula for school boards by which public school families have some minimum number of seats, or there's some kind of voting formula, I don't even know what it would be, that would make it hard to pass budgets or policies without them?
It will be very difficult to find a common approach, because by extension, you will find that in a local village, in a local town, and then, you know, county, it will not only have to address a school board. Now, as I said before, what we have to do is find a common ground, and there's a great injustice done to the kids in East Ramapo. And people and parents, students, taxpayers are all hurting by the cuts and all the other issues and by the animosity and the tension. You know, I always say it doesn't feel good to hate, even if it's justified, or to be angry, even if it's justified. And the great injustice is done, I believe, and I think it could be traced to the dysfunction in Albany. The majority, if not all the school districts, a good portion of the budget is being funded by the state. East Ramapo, believe it or not, is a very poor school district, just by, if you look by the free and reduced lunch eligibility by the federal programs. Yet we are considered one of the wealthiest districts in the county, if not the state, and by that we are being shortchanged. And I think this is where the injustice is done.
And certainly that will produce common ground among all the communities of the district looking for more money from Albany, as every district wants to get.
Well, if we just change the formula to the right configuration, because the way they calculate the money funded for the district is just looking at the real estate value versus the public school student population. We're a very wealthy district, indeed. However, if you take into consideration the 22,000, if not more, the number 22,000 has been around for a couple of years. I believe we're up to 25,000 to 27,000.
Uh-huh.
We are a very, very poor district.
So
we will be entitled to another $15 to $20 million, which will wipe out the deficit and reinstall every single program that was cut.
Now, some of the cuts that are generating so much anger and anguish, from what I've read in the Journal News and New York Magazine, eliminating all sports teams was on the table. Many are being cut, as I understand it. And even eliminating all kindergarten was proposed at one point. It's been brought down to half day as opposed to full day kindergarten. And this when the national and Albany debate is about universal pre-K.
That's terrible. That is terrible. That is awful. And talking about the kindergarten program, when I got on the board, believe it or not, before most of the tension was there, East Ramapo did not have a full-day kindergarten program. I was appalled. Yet when we were able to tighten up the budget, we have increased and instituted a full-day kindergarten program, because many of the students from the public school sector, as you pointed out, come from immigrant families, single-parent homes. All they have, their entire future in society is in hope they can get into public education, the best public education. You have to capture them when they're young.
So do you oppose what the school board did in cutting it to half-day kindergarten?
Well, absolutely, and I believe that I've spoken out against that particular cut. It was devastated to see a program that we've worked very hard to institute to be cut. However, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be a spokesperson of anyone. I believe that as an elected official, I need to speak out on issues such as these. And I believe that we need to correct this injustice from Albany. And I would like to commend a young senator, very energetic senator from our neighborhood, who has recently been elected, Senator Carlucci, who is working very hard to change that formula. And perhaps maybe we can see something like that happen in the near future, perhaps by the end of the school year.
Well, I don't know if you made news here by coming out against the kindergarten cuts, considering your former position on the board, but it's interesting to hear. Something about Senator Carlucci, David Carlucci, state senator from Rockland, that I want to get your reaction to. I see that he's proposing an oversight bill that State Education Commissioner John King told the Journal News that he supports that would allow the State Education Department to intervene in any district that is chronically underperforming. It also includes that revised state aid formula that you were talking about, especially to districts with high ratios of public school, of private school, I should say, to public school students like East Ramapo has. But I believe that intervention means it could be a state takeover of the school district if it's seen as chronically failing. Is that in that bill? And would you support passage of that bill and put that power in the hands of the state to usurp the school board?
Well, I believe that those are two separate bills. The bill to change the formula and the bill for oversight are two separate bills, and it should stay separate. The reason why I say it should stay separate, because the bill that you talk about, oversight, the commissioner has been pushing for quite a while, I believe more than a couple of years. The New York State School Board Association had put out an opinion where they were vehemently opposed the bill, and rightfully so. You know, it's going to take so much on a little show to explain why the school board, the New York State School Board Association, is against this bill. And perhaps maybe you could find someone from that organization, which is a very respectable
right.
organization.
No local school board wants the state to have power to take it over. We did a show on the Newark schools recently where they're so inflamed that the state remains in control of Newark schools after many, many years. So obviously no local board, no matter what their makeup, no matter what their politics, wants to give the state the power to usurp their power.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so. We know the no taxation without representation. I think that there is one school district that the state took over many years ago, and I believe that they regret it to this day, and that's the Roseland School District. I believe that takeover is separate than oversight, really, because I think currently there is oversight. There's an extensive oversight between the controller, between petitions, and between the attorney general, between lawsuits. There's an extensive amount of oversight in the East Ramapo School District, which is really hurting the children of East Ramapo. The district had spent millions of dollars to defend all of this, and the money's coming straight out of the classroom.
My guest on WNYC, and let me jump in and re-identify you, and then we're going to get some calls in for you in our remaining time. My guest is Aaron Weider, a former president of the East Ramapo School District in Rockland County. As a follow-up to our segment on this last week with Benjamin Wallace Wells, who had that long article in New York Magazine, this is the district with 9,000 or so public school students and, as we're hearing, well over 20,000 private school students, the public school kids overwhelmingly Black and Latino immigrant family kids, and the private school students overwhelmingly from the Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish communities. There is an ongoing Hasidic majority on the school board, and there's all this tension over taxes and how money is being spent and how a budget deficit is being dealt with. And 212-433-WNYC is our phone number as we search for some common ground here. And Mark in Muncie, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mark.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Enjoy your show. You have a terrific show. They always listen to your show, and especially today.
Thank you.
Mr. Weider got on the board, I would say, about 4 or 5 years ago. Up until then, the special needs children in the Orthodox community were shortchanged. And Mr. Weider, as a pioneer, made sure that all special needs children of the district that by right should get a good education or to the best of their ability. It shouldn't be shortchanged. So you should definitely be commended for that. And I think that was the main reason why the community pushed so much for the board members to be on. There's another reason, and which was the unbelievably high tax increases that were constantly being put out for votes. And it was very difficult to vote them down initially. But as the community grew, the community started to respond. But this district is a district, the public school district, have been shrinking over the last few years. Initially, there were, I would say, about 13 or 14,000 students in Eastern Amathal.
So, Mark, and would you say that as a matter of community interest, that's why so many Orthodox members of the community have been interested in running for the school board in East Ramapo, even though they don't have kids in the public schools, because the funding also goes for the special needs children in the private schools? That is a, you know, a legal public function. And so the community had an interest in increasing the amount of money that went to those kids for their special needs education. And therefore, to take more money out of the private schools to shift some of that balance of spending?
No, I don't think that that was the reason. I think the reason was the special needs of the private schools were denied services. And that's one reason. The second reason was the tax issue. The tax levies were way, way out of control. We used to get 7 to 11% tax increases all the years prior to the Orthodox community putting out members to run, and that has stopped. Okay, finally the governor has stepped in and put a cap on that they can only go up to 2%. But up until then, we were taxed year after year. The unions were very strong over here. There was no giving anything from the unions, and which is you know, understandable. I would be the same if I would be a union member, but understandably that the population didn't agree with that.
And like a lot of districts, the budget is going up in no small measure because of past contracts and pension obligations and things like that. And that's one of the reasons for the deficit. Mark, thank you. I'm going to move on to another caller. Here's Nana in the East Ramapo District. Nana, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Well, the gentleman who you have on is talking about common ground. There's really no common ground in the Hasidic community running the board. Even when there are non-Hasidic members on the board, they're overruled and ignored. This isn't as much of a state issue as it is a misuse of funds. What hasn't been talked about is the fact that the board is uninterested in raising taxes because the Hasidic community does not want to pay for any of the public school children. And we have had huge amounts of reserve funds, which the board has used because they're refusing to raise taxes. They're also not talking about the fact that they are now paying for two superintendents. One of the superintendents, who they've now deposed, who's a principal, was someone who, I'm assuming that they didn't want to hear his views, so they deposed him. They're paying his very huge salary, and they hired another superintendent. So there's a misuse of funds by the fact that there are two superintendents now being paid a huge salary. They're also now talking about the fact that because of all the lawsuits, they have actually had to use $1.5 million to defend what in fact they are doing with misappropriating funds and misusing the reserve funds. So while there should be a common ground, the Hasidic community is doing just what they want, which is they're keeping taxes low. They are not using funds that could have been used to repair buildings, that could have been used to pay for teachers, but they are cutting programs.
So, Mr. Weider, on the taxes, there's a lot of pressure on every district in the state, but most suburban school districts approve their budgets. And if there's a history of disapproving budgets and sending them back for lower taxes, is it something particular about this district? Go ahead.
Well, Nana, I do have hope. I truly hope that in your heart you will find it not to generalize and paint with one brush an entire community. We're human beings. We have the same feelings. We have wives, kids, children, and we want to have educated neighbors.
In fairness, I think she was making specific charges about misuse of funds and about pressuring. Well, I know that two of the previous secular school board members resigned, claiming that there was intimidation. So this is not to say, as I understand her call and these things that I've read, that this is what Hasids do or this is what Jews do, but rather these members of the school board are doing this as a matter of policy because that's what they find in their interest.
I specifically talked about what Nana started out in a phone conversation, that with the Hasidim there is no common ground. And she went on to say the things that she said, which I can address. I truly hope that she will find it in her heart of heart to feel that there is common ground with neighbors and human beings, and this is what we're all about. Municipalities, government is going through a very, very tough time all over the state, all over the country, sequestration. People are losing their jobs, lives, all their savings and so on and so forth. It's a very tough time, and we need to find common ground. This is the only solution. I will say about the history of East Ramapo in terms of the budget. About 2000, the budget was about $140 million. When I got on the school board in about 2008, 2009, the budget was $190 million, an increase of $50 million. Yet the graduation rate had decreased, steadily decreased throughout almost the entire duration of that particular time frame. And that is wrong. It's wrong for the public school students. How is it that a budget went from $140 million to $190 million, yet the graduation rate decreased? Every child that does not graduate is going to have a tough time growing up and succeeding in his adult life. Every child that does graduate will have it easier to find a job, go to college. In fact, the years that we have been on the board and tried to keep the budget somewhat under control, the graduation rate increased, and I feel very proud about the fact that it had steadily increased since we have been on the school board.
But if the majority of the board came in 2008, those graduates were in the pipeline from well before that for the most part. If you're now cutting 400 teachers and other staff from the schools, which is the number that I got from the Journal News, and cutting kindergarten to half day and cutting sports and theater, then perhaps you're setting up the next generation of kids for a lower graduation rate.
Absolutely, and that's what's so terrible, and that's what I started out my phone conversation, the injustice done to the East Ramapo School District by the dysfunction of Albany needs to end, and hopefully it will end with the great Senator of Carlucci. But I will say, though, when you say that the students were in the pipeline, you know what we found? Many of the students that came from immigrant homes, they used to drop out right before the end of the graduation period to help their parents, such as in landscaping business. So we kind of captured those students. Even though they were in the pipeline, you needed to capture them right at the very end. So we feel very proud. And by the way, what the caller had said about the superintendent, that's not true. And that's part of the problem. I don't think that the caller necessarily meant to perpetrate a rumor or a lie, but currently they don't pay two school superintendents. In fact, the previous superintendent is no longer in the school district and is no longer a principal. So
our time is coming short, but Nana, I want to give you a chance to have a second word after hearing those responses from Mr. Weider.
Mr. Weiner, would you please explain further then, if you said that the principal is no longer there, would you explain the appropriation of double funds for a superintendent and a principal? And would you also explain why it is that you're using $1.5 million to defend yourself? Also, why the lawyer who you have now working for East Ramapo is being paid double what the prior lawyer was being paid?
Well, I must correct you when you say why I am doing these things. I will correct you that I am no longer on the school board. I haven't been on the school board for 2 years. So would we say, why are you?
So would you defend the? Would you defend or disagree with her characterization of what the current school board is doing?
Well, the current school board is trying to defend, and I think every municipality has an obligation to defend themselves against lawsuits, which can end up harming that municipality and that district to the tune of more than $1.5 million. If an individual gets sued, they need to defend themselves. And I believe that it's a fiduciary responsibility. Anyone, any municipality that is being sued, either to pursue the lawsuit in the courts or try to come to some sort of resolution.
We are just about out of time, and we're obviously not going to be able to get into every aspect or certainly solve this very fraught and ongoing situation in East Ramapo right now. I want to bring out one other suggestion for Common Ground that somebody wrote on our comments page after the last segment last week. One of the many people who posted a comment said a point of Common Ground might be a fundamental policy debate about which taxes pay for public education. Should it be local property taxes at all, or should it be the state through statewide taxes? That would be incredibly hard to get through Albany. Maybe it's pie in the sky to even bring it up. But is that something you would support or fight for? That way, every local school district that might be more poor or more wealthy than some other local school district doesn't have to rely just on its property values or mostly on its property values for unequal education.
Brian, since the years that I've been involved in this, I've heard so many solutions, and they probably are all good, and we could explore that. The very imminent solution for East Ramapo is a fundamental change and fairness of a formula change, which I commend Senator Carlucci for pursuing. Once we accomplish a formula change, we need to explore and look at all the options that people have raised, which is some of them are very lofty, and pursue them. But for the time being, we need to look at formula change. The kids, the children of East Ramapo deserve that. The public schools of East Ramapo deserve a formula change. Well, we need to fight. We need to fight for a formula change, and I commend the Senator Carlucci.
Well, there are many, 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 many points of passionate disagreement that remain, but I have a feeling all of the community can rally around that. One, to get a state legislature
Absolutely.
Change in the way state education funds are allocated. I want to thank Aaron Weider, former president of the East Ramapo School Board and currently a Rockland County legislator, for coming on with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Mayor Bloomberg has knocked some of the candidates to succeed him for trying to weaken stop and frisk and more closely supervise the NYPD. The mayor did not mention any candidate by name, but we will talk with one who supports police reform, public advocate Bill de Blasio, next.